Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Thank you, Domi T. 1010, we're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Happy holidays to you and yours.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter.
Hey.
When the snow comes to cover the ground.
Let's go.
It's a time for play. It's a whipping day. I wait for it all year round. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees. And the sun is red like a pumpkin's head. It shines on.
Who's singing this song, Griffin? I know this voice. Wayne Newton.
No. You might remember Darlene Love.
Darlene Love.
Darlene
yeah,
Love.
That's what I was going to guess.
Sorry, Darlene. Sorry, Wayne.
She did Christmas Baby Please Come Home on Letterman every year.
Well, that's the song I think of for her.
And this is the same album, the Phil Spector Christmas album. Which,
oh, wow.
You know, when you think Christmas, you think Phil Spector.
Well, that's a great album.
It's a great album.
Crank it. Crank it. Let's go. Look. Need a little more of this in our world. I was talking to Lou off the air today, and Lou said, you know, this year has been harder to get into the Christmas spirit or season than most years. And I said, I'm feeling you on that, Lou. So I was actually, Griff, I was thinking last night because my Christmas mix that I made on Spotify was starting to sound a little dated or dusty. I wanted something fresher, and I thought, I just want to search a really good Christmas album, something that'll kind of pump me up. Maybe I'll look for the Phil Spector Christmas album, because the Darlene Love Rockin' Around the Christmas...
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
Christmas Baby. You can kill that music for me. Christmas Baby, Please Come Home is such a wonderful song. In fact, it almost makes you want to just go back and watch the video of when David Letterman would bring her out, because it was just kind of a weird pairing, as only Letterman could. And she killed it. She loved it. He loved it. You loved it. It was just a great thing. So crank out your CDs, listen to your holiday music, and listen to WGN. In fact, on our Saturday show, we're going to play back, or on our Christmas show, we're going to play back what we did last Saturday. And that is where I read from some of the staff's Christmas memories. That'll be part of my Christmas hour when you listen to WGN Radio on Christmas Eve. And Christmas Day, all of us have turned in hour-long Christmas specials. Mine includes some music, and it includes some of the stuff that we've done on the air. You know what I was almost going to play, but I didn't because I thought it would kind of bring it down. But I was playing clips from some of my favorite Christmas movies and TV shows. And I had all edited and ready to just hit insert the In Excelsis Deo Mrs. Lanningham scene from West Wing from years ago. And it's just a great hour of television. And from West Wing, it was their Christmas show. And it was just profound. It was funny, but really heartbreaking and filled you with the spirit. It was just really wonderful. And Mrs. Lanningham, who was played by Catherine Juice from Chicago, a woman who fell into acting in, I think, her 50s. She came into our studio a couple of times. She's a delightful lady. It was late in life, and she says, oh, I think I'll be an actress, and turned out to be a great actress. So Mrs. Lanningham is the president's secretary, and she lost her sons in the Vietnam War in a battle on Christmas Eve in 1970, goes the story. And so when she tells that to Charlie, the president's aide, why she was down during the holiday, it was... It's really a special scene. It's not an upper, though, as they say, but it's just great television. In fact, it was your tweet, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
It sort of brought it back to mind for me. What did you tweet about that?
Just that it always makes me cry.
I know.
I cry for her every Christmas.
I know.
I do, because I watch that episode every year, too, and it never does not get me.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's just one of the storylines, too. So however you watch West Wing, if you look for that, you will be touched. A couple of touching things that I just want to do a couple shout-outs to. Before we go to our first guest, and by the way, our first guest today is somebody whose video is on the front of my Facebook page. There's two posts. You might want to watch the one that scrolls up first. It's the same video. But it's this guy, I'm not even sure where he's from. And he was scammed by one of these people in Liberia, you know, that said, hey, if you want to send me some high-end consumer electronics, I will sell them and we'll split the profits. That's a different one than, you know, send me your credit card number or I'm a prince in exile. But there was a guy in Liberia who reached out to somebody in America. And what happened afterwards is one of the most wonderful things you'll see on the internet. That little video that guy posted, and I don't think it was that long ago, has been viewed 11 million times. He's going to say hi to us in just a minute. You'll also there be able to find my, if you scroll down far enough, Salvation Army virtual kettle. And just once again, thanks to those of you who were able to donate to our little fundraiser for the Salvation Army this year. We set a goal of $10,000. And as of this morning, mostly because of what happened on Thursday's show, we're at $23,000. We were at $5,600 on our way to our goal of $10,000. And we quadrupled that. We got to $23,000. Lou Manfredini called in at the beginning of the show and said, John, let's do a match. You've got to get going here. He and his Ace Hardware stores donated $500. If I raised $500 and suddenly I raised $1,300. Dr. Mike Hanna, one of our sponsors from the Joint Relief Institute, donated $700. Pearl Mortgage, David Hochberg, said, oh, that was fun. How about I donate $5,000? And so for David's $5,000 match, we raised about another $8,000. And on it went. I was so impressed with how many odd-numbered $16 donations there were and how many of you gave $1, $2, and $500. So thanks for letting us be the conduit for your kind thoughts and generosity. Okay, so what about this video? Let me get to that. And the guy that posted it after this. The video is, of course, visual, and I won't be able to show you the images that go with this. But at the first part of this, you don't need to see the images. You just need to know what the story is. And again, I'm King John on Facebook. If you look at my Facebook, there's a link to this guy's video, which has been viewed 11 million times. His name is Ben Daly, and his video starts this way. Oh, pardon me.
A couple of months ago, I got a message on Facebook from a guy named Joel in Liberia. He said that he was in need of some financial assistance and asked me to send him some premium electronics. He said that he would sell these on the Liberian market and then split the profits with me. Now, I figured that this was just one of those African internet scams, but I decided to play along and see where it led me. I figured the more time of his that I could waste, the less time that he'd have to spend ripping other people off.
Okay, so that's the first part of it, right? How many of us have received something like that and thought, oh, I'll teach them a lesson or two? I've done this before. I have strung the internet scammers along myself, gone back and forth, back and forth. A lot of times I'll say, yeah, I do think I will give you my credit card number, and then I ask them questions. And I've gotten some of these trolls to go back and forth a half a dozen times with me, but I've never done what this guy did.
So I told him that I didn't have any electronics to send, but I did have a business proposition if he was interested. I told him that I was in the photography business and that if he'd be willing to take pictures of where he lived and send them to me, I'd pay him for the ones that I liked. He agreed, and the next morning he sent a few over. And they were just terrible. The guy had to be using a 15-year-old flip phone or worse, but I was surprised to see him actually try. He mentioned repeatedly that he was looking for God's favor through someone and that he believed that person was me. So I thought I would invest a little bit of money in this guy to see if he was scamming me or if he was seriously trying to improve his situation. So I mailed him a $30 camera and told him to take some more pictures with it. Well, the pictures were a little better quality, but they still sucked. So I said to him that if he wanted to make money taking pictures, he needed to practice. He needed to hold the camera still and make sure his subject had plenty of light. And would you believe that he actually improved? I mean, some of his pictures were just stunning. They really show the beauty and difficulties of living in Liberia.
Yeah, they really do. And it's funny because when he referenced the first photographs that come in, you just see blurry images or splotches of sunlight where the camera was pointed evidently to the sky. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. The images really do get better and they become sharper in focus. And the art of them is so much more in evidence, too. And so the story picks up from there. On a phone line is that guy. His name is Ben Taylor. Ben, this is John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Hey, John. Doing well.
What is it, 11 million views of your video now?
I don't even know. I put it on my YouTube channel, and then all these pages started uploading it to their Facebook pages. So on that page, it was 11 million, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
at this point,
I've got a few views on my page linking to yours, but I guess yours doesn't count mine. So it's probably been seen many, many more times than that, huh?
Yeah, I've lost count.
Yeah, that's sort of beside the point. So where are you from, by the way, Ben?
I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah.
And are you a photographer by trade yourself?
It's a hobby, but I don't consider myself a professional by any means.
What do you do for a living? Do you have a family?
I do. I'm just a dad with a kid, and I work in marketing for a living. So, not the photography guy that I made myself out to be.
So let's just pick up the story where it left off in my replaying of your telling of the story. So then there you show yourself putting a little camera into an envelope and sending it off to Liberia. Yeah. And then lo and behold, pictures come back to you. He sends you some photographs and they were not good. And then they were better. And so hokey smokes. This guy's a real person and he's really in Liberia. And you really do get a sense of what's going on there, at least through those images, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I just thought that he would kind of say, you know, forget this guy's not falling for my trick, and he would give up.
Right.
But turns out that he looked at this as an opportunity to make a living for himself, and so he just took it seriously. He put in the work to practice. He thought that this was an opportunity, I guess, from God that had been given him. And so he just put in the work to earn what I would eventually pay him. So it turned out to be quite a story.
So what did you do then?
Well, when the pictures started to come back and they were looking better, I thought, oh, now I have to pay this guy because then I'm going to end up being the scammer. So I had to figure out what I was going to do to, because, you know, I'm not a rich guy by any means. I spent $30-$40 on a camera, but now I got to figure out how to sell these pictures and actually compensate him. So I thought, well, let's see if I can sell them online. So I put together a little booklet. It was more of a brochure kind of a thing. It wasn't like a hardbound fancy coffee table book by any means, but it was enough to garner some interest. And so I did a little Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign to sell these little books. And people were so drawn to the story and the idea that they were willing to pay a couple bucks for these. And so we ended up selling about $13,000 worth of these little booklets online, which went to, you know, raise money for him and to also get back to charity. I said that, you know, half will go to you and half will go to me, but, you know, I want to give my portion to charity and I want to help out the people of Liberia. So that's kind of, and that's what ended up happening. We were able to send money to him, kind of get him back on his feet, get him out of debt. And then the rest of the money we used to support students over in Liberia. We were able to buy backpacks,
yeah,
clothing
well,
items.
But that and that's just maybe the most touching part of the story, and that is so you make this Indiegogo book, and $13,000 generated from the sale. People in 40 countries, you point out, saw that book mm-hmm. and bought it. Now you're in the business of collecting money and sending out books. You do that. You've got the money. And instead of keeping your $6,000 or whatever, you say, okay, I'm going to give him the money. I'm going to give the money back. And you said, and now take that camera and take pictures of what you're buying. And now there's a moment of truth, right? Because when you send him the money, for all you know, he's going to buy himself whatever he wants rather than actually turning it over to kids, right?
Yeah, it was another kind of a leap of faith doing that.
And the pictures that he then takes of the kids standing there in their school uniforms, you said he had to hire a taxi to haul all the stuff away from the Story Found where he could buy school supplies for the kids. Those pictures just bring a tear to your eye.
Super incredible.
Yeah. So the stuff gets to the kids, and then at the very end of this video, there's a picture of a guy standing there. Is that him? Is that Joel, the Liberian scammer dude?
Well, I thought he was a Liberian scammer dude, but it turns out that he was just a guy who was down on his luck and was looking for some help in any way he could. So,
although I wonder if, I mean, his original pitch to you was, send me some high-end consumer electronics and I'll sell them and we'll split the profits. I wonder if you'd send him an iPhone, if he would have done that. I mean, clearly he came around, but we don't know what his original intent was, do we?
I'm not sure we'll ever know.
And that was the other, and pardon me, but that was the other nice message at the end of your video. And that is sort of give people a chance, you know, assume the best. I mean, what was the message? What's the takeaway from your standpoint, Ben, in this video?
You know, I think it's just easy to write people off when they tell you their situation. It's easy to judge people. But I think that when you maybe take a minute to get to know people a little bit, sometimes they surprise you. Sometimes things can work out differently than you might have thought they would have. So kind of maybe just an interesting lesson to take away is to just maybe give people a chance sometimes.
Yeah. Somebody posted on my Facebook page, they said, thanks a lot, John. I hate you now. I'm sitting here crying watching this video. By the way, the funniest part of the video was when you, so then you go to like a Western Union, right, to wire $500 to this guy. Do I remember that correctly? And your bank won't let you because they figure, oh, we know this scam. Anytime somebody's wiring money to an account in Liberia, it's just a ripoff and they wouldn't allow you to do it. So then you take the actual cash to the place and insert the money and hope that it magically appears in Joel's hands in Liberia. And it does. It does. He gets the money. That's a great thing.
Yeah. I got some pretty awkward stares in that Rite Aid.
They're like, dude, you're the kind of dum-dum that actually gives money to the scammers in Liberia. And you go, no, I actually think this guy's for real. By the way, this is just an aside, and I know it's not why you did it. Clearly, it's not. But do you get, if you get 11 million views on Facebook, do you get a check from Facebook?
I don't.
Or how about Facebook YouTube?
Does not.
YouTube, does YouTube pay you?
You know, you make a little bit of money off ads on YouTube, but you know, it's not a ton. I mean, you have to get in the millions and millions on YouTube. But no, I think I've made enough to cover my cost of the camera and to maybe cover a little bit of my time to mess with this guy, but no, unfortunately, no one's getting rich here.
Last question. Do you have any further contact with this guy, Ben? Have you heard from him in any other way since? Are you guys going to have a reunion someday?
You know, we're good friends. We talk almost daily, and if you go to my YouTube channel at Pleasant Green, you can see that we've had a lot of different interactions since then, and even just this week, we were able to do kind of another fun thing for Christmas. We were able to connect with a guy who lives out there in Liberia who's a pilot. He was able to connect with Joel, and the two of them were able to deliver Christmas to some families and to more kids. And so the story just kind of keeps going on and on. And people keep buying books, so we'll just keep doing good things over there.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't the serendipity and the good intentions of somebody like you really do us good? We need a story like you this Christmas, Ben. So thank you for doing what you've done. And it's give us the YouTube channel again. If I surf where, I'll find it.
Yeah, just youtube.com/PleasantGreen.
Pleasant Green, that's you. And you can also find him on Facebook, or I'm King John on Facebook. An easy way to start might be go there, and you'll see the link to the video as well. Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you for doing that, Ben, and congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
His name's Ben Taylor, and he didn't know he was going to be an internet sensation, but he is. Enjoying those 30s. It still hasn't been as cold yet as every day I keep thinking it's going to be. But I'm looking at the 10-day Domati, and the overnight lows get into the single digits next week. Tuesday night, in fact, Monday night down to 4.
Yeah, overnight. Oh, my goodness.
It's funny. The daytime highs are still in the teens and 20s, but the overnight lows are
single digit.
Yeah, 6, 4, 12, 17, 17, 9, 5, 8.
Do you think that's why it doesn't feel like Christmas? That was my theory. I think it's the weather for us Chicagoans. What do you think?
I think that's a good question. I think that's part of it. There's no snow on the ground related to that. Also, everybody's just so anxious about the news these days, the markets and I don't know, everything from Bitcoin to Donald Trump to sexual harassment, you know, all of the stories. It's just been really hard. I'm sure that we always think any given news cycle is especially difficult, right? There's always a war in Afghanistan or the taxes are too high. It seems like we're always burdened by current events. But this year it really did feel tough, especially of late.
In his top 10 movies of the year that you just handed me before the show, Michael Phillips called 2017 a breathless eternity. He's just so true.
It's like
a great phrase.
And is the point of that, Griff, that we need movies as a valuable distraction? Or
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Lou was just talking about that off the air and maybe on the air as well. And I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that when the U.S. ambassador says the things that she does at the U.N. or the president says something or the media says something about the two of them, everybody just has their undies in a knot. And it really has been tight. I don't know if that's made 2017 feel fast because it was just one hard breath or if it made it feel like an eternity. But you know how we do the Vibe Score segment at the end of the show where Griffin walks us through a bunch of things, music, movies, TV, pop culture. I was going to have him put in there 2017, 1 to 100, how would you rate it? Was it a great year or was it just like a painful year for whatever reason, big or small? And this has been a difficult year for me for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I'm happy and healthy. I'm able to sit up and take fluids. I have no reason to complain in the world. This has been a hard year. This has really been a hard year. And so there's that. By the way, there's a story in Time magazine, Best and Worst Holiday Gifts According to Science. I just want to help you guys out because I suspect that four men sitting here, probably all of us have 80% of our shopping still to do. Sam, how much of your shopping have you done?
20%.
Yeah.
I'd say about 50.
Well, particularly since, like a Christmas miracle, you gave me the best Christmas gift ever, and I was not even expecting that, Sam.
You want to tell people what it is?
I'll let you do it.
No, I think you should. It'd be more cringeworthy for you to talk about it.
A gift bag of shower accessories from the Trump Hotel.
Shower cap, shampoo, conditioner.
I have a bar of soap engraved into it. TRUMP.
Water.
Like I'm going to rub that all over my body.
I had a white bag and I stuffed it full of all this stuff. There's probably like 25 things. So I said, here, John, just pick one and you can keep it.
Trump conditioner.
He pulled out Trump conditioner. I said, all right, pick another one. Trump water. So I said, you know what? You could actually just keep all of this.
As he saw my face sink further and further into desperation, he gave it all to me.
For a shower that will make you feel dirty.
Or you
who
can
knew
clean,
it was possible.
You can clean yourself with Trump shampoo. Think about that.
So we're doing a kind of gift swap steal thing at Christmas. I just told Brenda, I said, I think this should come. Because that is people at our, because you know we're all across the spectrum at this Christmas hoo-ha I'm going to be at, and some people will see the humor in it, some people will see the horror of it, some people will see the hero in it, the three H's of a good Christmas gift. So either way, it's going to be a win-win. Somebody's going to get it and hate it, and somebody's going to want it and steal it, and we'll all laugh. Goes my thinking.
Nah, no.
Yeah. I know, I'm worried about it. I said, I don't want to invite the president to our Christmas. He can stay in the White House. I'll stay in Joliet. I don't think we have to mix it up that day. So that's my problem, Griff. Okay, here's some strategies for you gift givers and buyers still. According to the science experts from Time magazine, number one, do not splurge on something flashy. It's the item, not the price tag. Ask Sam Panionovich. Those were freebies, as I recall. And yet, what a gift. What a gift.
What a gift.
In fact, there's no clear correlation between present price and recipient satisfaction. I get that. But if you are going to get somebody a diamond ring, there is a bit of a correlation. If your choice is shower cap from the Trump Hotel or a diamond ring, there probably is a bit of a price correlation.
But for a good gift, more times than not, it's the thought that counts and the creativity and the originality of it.
Right, which is why I think sometimes we defer to, well, I'll just go to the store and get him something expensive, because the creativity, the thought, that's difficult. That's the hardest part. literally, sometimes you've sat there and thought, what can I give this person? And you don't come up with anything. And so then you say, well, I'll go to the store and get them a gift card and they can get whatever they want. And then you feel terrible. But listen to this. Do give people gifts they want. Here's another fact about gift giving. A study published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology found that gift givers overestimate the impact of a surprise gift. In fact, the study found that people tend to appreciate getting things they specifically asked for more than unsolicited presents. The next presents. That was Freudian. I have an unsolicited present. I meant unsolicited present. The next one says, do pick a gift card. Gift cards may seem like an impersonal or lazy holiday gift, but surveys have found that they're actually a popular pick among gift recipients. They were the most requested gift of 2015. 2017 may be the same. The most requested gift in 2015 was a gift card. Just give me a gift card. Go to Barnes & Noble. Go to Target. Go to wherever you get your things, just give me the gift card. I'll go get something myself. Number one most requested item. Give gifts on their behalf. Making a charitable donation in a friend or family member's name may seem like the perfect holiday gift. Your spending goes to a worthy cause and the recipient gets a gift they feel good about. But a 2015 study published in the Journal of Organizational Behavior and Human Decisions, which Doma T subscribes to, poked a hole in that theory. While close friends or family members may appreciate a socially responsible holiday gift, close friends, family members, oh, you bought a cow. Okay, that's great. Researchers found that a casual acquaintance will feel slighted by that, potentially because the selection focuses on the symbolic meaning of the gift and not them. So for maybe an office worker or something?
Well, I also think that it's like they probably don't really feel like they're the one that has done the giving.
That's right.
It's like that's just like donating for yourself and saying, oh, this is for you somehow. I mean, I don't know if I truly oppose it, but I could see feeling like, well, you're the one that did the giving, not me. I don't feel good about it as I would if I had done it. Now, that's like getting into a petty argument over taking credit over giving to a good cause, which is probably not the most important thing. But I could see why in a study like that, people would say
no,
they don't much care for that.
I totally get that. I totally get that. Because in a way, you, the gift giver, are killing two birds. A, I got Griffin a gift. And B, I feel awesome because I bought a cow for somebody in Africa. Meanwhile, Griffin's sitting there going, I was hoping for some gloves and a scarf from the Blackhawk store. But no, he doesn't have that. And he doesn't have the big warm fuzzy because he didn't do it. Well, thank you, Griff, for making that holiday giving feel hollow and uncharitable.
You started it.
And then here's just one last note. It says, do not dress up a bad gift. If you know a holiday gift is underwhelming, for instance, you're giving bath products from the Trump Hotel you got for free. I'm just saying.
Well, that's an important detail here. Those were free?
Yeah, he did not pay for those.
Okay, that makes me feel very different about it. I'm more
really?
Comfortable with this now. We can move on. I'm sorry.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah. Well, he was staying at the hotel, so he had to pay, I presume, for his room.
Never mind.
But
I regret bringing it up. I'm sorry, keep
just
going.
Gathering. If you know a holiday gift is underwhelming, it may be tempting to overcompensate with big bows and fancy wrapping paper. But data from Yale's Association for Consumer Research, which Doma T subscribes to, says that strategy like that may backfire. When people got a gift that they liked, the researchers found, attractive trappings slightly enhanced the experience, but when the gift itself was unsatisfactory, a science documentary for the purpose of the study, wrapping actually worsened the recipient's perception of the gift. Their expectations were raised, and the reality of the underwhelming gift made it even worse. So do not dress up an underwhelming gift. One last word about gift giving, though, and the wrapping. I have found that if your gift is neutral, that is, you've made an effort to give somebody something and they're probably going to like it, right? It's a good gift for them. One thing that is lost in this country these days is the art of a well-wrapped package, and that when people get one that is beautifully and thoughtfully done, that can be a gift unto itself. Maybe pause a moment and appreciate the wrapping that you see if somebody's done a good job about it. Now, I know on the way from the liquor store, you can just pick up a gift bag and drop the bottle in there. And I have no problems with that. But if there is some art in the wrap, that's a wonderful thing. And I think that's one thing to also consider doing. I've never done it, but I've seen it done before. And I do appreciate that. It's 10:51. We'll do the news here in 5 minutes. It's 10:55 on WGN. The Mincing Rascals podcast broadcast comes your way after 11 o'clock. The roundtable talks about aliens from outer space and what's been happening in Washington, D.C. and Illinois. That's part of our broadcast podcast. We'll do that a little after 11 o'clock. Griffin will walk us through some of the things in the world, including the best movies of 2017 in the next hour as well. But there is a story also, speaking of science, about one clever way to remember where you misplace things. Fellas, Domitee, do you sometimes misplace things? Do you forget where something was or is?
Far too often.
Maybe you forgot where you parked. Maybe you forgot where you put your keys or your phone. Or we all can relate to that.
Yeah, every time.
And wait till you get to be my age or my parents' age. It just gets worse.
I was thinking about getting this app that's a keychain with a GPS thing on it that ties to your phone.
Right.
So if you lose your keys, you can GPS it and figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's the name of it. But it sounds like too much.
Somebody got me that, and I still haven't gotten around to using it. And they got me that as a gift a couple of years ago.
See, there you go. So where did that line up on the gift giving spectrum? Vibe score that.
So here is the trick. Domitee, you don't need any fancy technology that you're not inclined to install. It says, bark like a dog. Barking like a dog every time you put an item down will make you more consciously aware of the moment in which the item left your hands and help prevent from forgetting where you were when this happened. I mean, you don't normally bark like a dog. So if you would say that's something extraordinary in your life. You go, God, yeah, I was standing next to the thing when I was barking. Oh, that's where my keys are. I don't know if that's helpful.
I don't know how I feel. I don't know.
I know, because to be honest with you, I would rather lose and then find my keys rather than have people look at me barking like a dog when I get out of my car at a mall parking lot. I mean, I don't want to be standing there going, arf, 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 arf.
Right, and then
okay, I'm cool, and then go into the mall. I would rather just walk around like an idiot.
Right, and then the thing is, you're thoughtless when you place things in places, so you're not really going to think and remember to bark.
Right. That's if I remember to bark, I'd remember where I parked the damn car.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just reading it here. Another thing they say is to pinch yourself. A simple physical action like pinching your arm when you put your keys down will help that act as a mental marker. Because you go, oh, yeah, where did I get that bruise? Why am I bleeding? It's because I pinch myself. Oh, yeah, I was standing in lot A17. I'm not saying it's perfect. They say it will work. Domitee's going to work and do the news in a minute. Mega Dominator, it's 11:08. This is WGN Radio. John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. Sam, you may have to share with the gang then the list. I'm sure it exists somewhere. Of all of the bowls, we'll rank them from third to first, our three favorite bowl names. So we do the Mincing Rascals podcast here at WGN Radio. Normally we record it on Thursdays. We play part of it for you on Saturdays. This year we did it on Wednesday, or this past week we did it on Wednesday for a couple of reasons. But at the end of the day, what we ended up doing was live streaming video of the Facebook of the Mincing Rascals podcast. You were able to actually watch us do it. The reason that Facebook asked us to do that is so that they could test new technology. You've been able to live stream video forever or for a while, but there was never the opportunity to stick a donate now button for your cause on there. And so they asked us to see how that went. Well, we think it went swimmingly. And the idea was that while you were watching, if you made a donation, Elif would ring a bell, ding, 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 and we would get another donation. You hear the gang, as we're doing the podcast, cheer when the bell rings because the donations are coming in. And we also said that we would, since you were donating, give you a chance to actually ask questions. You would be able to live interact with your typed questions with us, and we would respond to them. So while the Mincing Rascals sound like the Mincing Rascals, it also sounds a little different. You'll hear the bell, the cheering, me clanking around a great big Salvation Army kettle, for that matter, as we were raising money for them. So we start with Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Our Patty Vasquez is in the studio for this one. Eric Zorn, the Tribune columnist, and our own Steve Bertrand. Stantis speaks first, and the question was, are you optimistic about the now passed new tax plan?
I'm optimistic as far as this goes. Over the next 2 years, the economy is going to take off. It's already started to heat up. It's going to get white hot. And there are going to be more jobs. There's going to be more money in the economy. That's just how things work. And the people who don't like this are Keynesian economists, not all. Oh, yay!
Another donation. Thank you.
But, keep going. So Keynesian economists don't like this, but economists on the right definitely do. Trickle down. This whole fiction that trickle down didn't work in the Reagan administration, of course, is preposterous.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Trickle-down economics works? Worked?
Did it work
in Kansas? Did it work in the country when Reagan was president?
Yes. Are you kidding me? The biggest peacetime expansion in our history of the economy? Yes, it worked. It worked very,
so
very well.
So you think, hooray, we should do this. We should give breaks to the rich.
No. You haven't been following my cartoons. The one part that Eric touched on, and you touched on, is a $1.5 trillion with a T added to our national debt is a crime. Is a crime, and it will lead to inflation. It will hurt
Scott,
the economy.
What makes you think the business is already doing really well? Business is flush with cash. We're going to give them more, and what are they going to do with it? They're going to do stock buybacks. They're not going to pay people more. Where do you get this idea?
They didn't admit it as much. They've said they're going to pocket it.
They're not going to pay people more. They're not going to. It's like this is fantasy that you guys have.
It's not a fantasy because as economies grow, that means there's pressures on labor, which means that labor costs
pressures
go
on
up.
Labor.
Yes.
Well, but you know what, Scott? I've been hearing that for a couple of years now. That the economy's
been crap for a decade.
Well,
so I'm not
it's,
sure.
It's continued to grow. We're almost at full employment now, and salaries haven't. I mean, I hope it works. I really do hope it works. I do hope
we're all
works.
On that bus. Let's hope this works.
I haven't seen evidence in the past year that a hotter labor market has led to increased salaries. We haven't seen it. What happened when even before these tax plans were approved? Boeing, which has driven the Dow Jones Industrial Average this year, announced a stock buyback. I think that's what you're going to see companies doing. They're not going to be paying their workers more. I hope they do. One other thing. I bought a property in Lake County, Cook County last year, a condo, for my mother-in-law. You know, she was at the point where we had to do something. So do we find a better apartment or do we buy property? And I'm like, you know what? This works for me because I can write off the property taxes. I can write off the other things.
You
that
don't
I get
know that
the,
anymore.
But now I can't.
But with an increased, but the deduction's going to double for you. The standard deduction's going to double for you. So maybe you'll still. You don't know how this
I don't
is
know.
Going to affect
you. You're right
you.
Because I'm hoping to be able to do my taxes on a postcard.
Why was that such a selling point?
But you know, so I've gone to several different calculators.
To try to figure it out,
and I can't figure it out yet. More often than not, it looks like my individual taxes are going to go up. Now, that's my own problem.
Really? You think your taxes are going to go up?
How much are you paying?
Do you think your taxes are going to go up?
No, I'm going to get money back. But the thing is,
I think I am too.
And this is going to be temporary, though. Why is it temporary for most Americans and most of the tax breaks and the wealthiest are permanent?
Well, they had to do that.
That's an excellent point.
Because they want to get elected in 2018. I think that's why.
They had to do that in order to make it legal, right?
And it's a fiction. We know that when it comes to 2025, there's going to be no political will to cut off those tax cuts, and so they'll extend them, and that's just going to balloon this $1.5 trillion into more and more deficit.
We already owe $25 trillion to investors in foreign countries.
This is why I thought Republicans were like, they hated, I guess right. I don't know anything.
Well,
I thought Republicans hated the debt, and the layering more on would be a bad idea.
I think you're absolutely right. We're living in the upside down now.
And they were tough on the Russians. It's the Republicans who are tough on the Russians, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, could you imagine a president who was elected, and it was proven that he had close relations and praised the leader of Russia? It's a world I don't understand anymore, John.
I have a bucket here of questions that our Facebookers have asked when the bell rings. Ring that bell real hard. There it is.
We've got another donation!
Woo!
Now you should answer three questions.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer three, but I will answer this one. This is random now.
Okay.
Mary asks, what will be the next soda pop tax in Cook County? If we've lost that, well, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be marijuana.
It's amazing how many Republicans are starting to get on board with legalizing marijuana. Senator Berkman, who I never would have thought would be something. I mean, a lot of conservatives in Illinois, in the general General Assembly are thinking about it.
We have medicinal marijuana in Illinois, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And is that sufficiently available to people?
No. That's
the problem with it, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Because there's a limited number of conditions for which you qualify.
Right. Why do we have a strict set of conditions that you have to adhere to in order to relieve your pain? I don't understand.
It's very strict. Illinois's got one of the strictest.
Another donation.
Thank you.
To their credit, they were strict to get it passed and to make it work, right? And we're, what, 3 or 4 years into it?
Yeah.
Governor Rauner has resisted expanding it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems to be showing that it's working, so,
But wasn't there, I'm just talking, I wish I had the facts in front of me, but there was
There's no need for that here.
Wasn't there a smell factor when they first started issuing the dispensary licenses?
What do you mean by smell factor?
Smell factor, going to people who, this wasn't a fair bidding process, but rather.
Oh, who got the pharmacies?
Yeah.
In Illinois?
Yeah, I know. Are you shocked?
What?
Steven says, how long do you think Donald Trump will serve as our 45th president of the United States? And what do you think, and why do you think he will serve that long?
I think it depends on the 2018 elections. If the Democrats take over the House or the Senate, then you can guarantee that he will, impeachment proceedings would definitely start.
Which would still take a long time, and I think he would still serve out his term.
It's a long process. It's a 10-year,
and you can be impeached and still be president.
Right.
Well, the Senate convict him.
You need 60%, 60 votes?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I think he'll serve his full term. I think it's because he's been so bad. If you look at Iran-Contra with Ronald Reagan, or if you look at the Scooter Libby scandal with George W. Bush, those were guys who had fairly clean administrations. So the one, bird dropping on that car really stood out.
Thank you for the donation.
Was that for bird dropping?
Eric. Yes, well done.
But, I'm going to say,
let me just finish the point, though. But there's so much bird crap on Donald Trump's car that nothing else shows.
We don't notice it.
So no matter what. I feel like no matter what comes out of the investigation now, there's so much stuff there that he's going to weather anyway.
That's why I've been counseling us to not be too burdened or fascinated by his ridiculous tweets and his lie du jour. Let's focus on the big things. And you and I have had this running argument about whether or not we should shine the light on some of his ridiculousness, because then I think we're all ridiculous. Let's focus on the important stuff.
Yeah, you're wrong there.
Scott's right. I do think the 2018 election is going to go poorly for the Republicans. And I think that something between that 2-year and 4-year mark is going to cause him to step down. And he's going to, whether it's going to be his health or just resignation over the fact that he's not getting anything done. This guy's not, I don't think he's well. I don't think he's physically well. I don't think he's mentally well. And so I'm predicting somewhere between 2 and 4. I'll say 3. I'll go with 3 years.
Are you concerned with his drinking water the other day like this?
That was the weirdest thing. He drank it like a toddler.
Like a raccoon.
It's not just the hand. It's also the way he has to. It's like he can't drink without a straw.
He leaned down into the cup.
We're doing it again.
Okay, but here's where we're doing it again.
This is not
you
important.
You started it.
I know I did.
But it is.
I'm not saying I'm perfect.
But it is important when he goes. It is important, and this is where you and I have disagreed. When he goes before us and he tells us that he is going to be hurt by the tax bill, you just rolled your eyes at me.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
Because that is almost unfathomable. It's almost impossible to be true. And it is important to point that out every time he says it, because if you allow someone to keep saying those things over and over, look at the polls, people start to believe them, right?
Well, and if he won't even show us his taxes, how can we even know how it would affect him
regardless,
in the first place?
Those are the things, John. I mean, making fun of the way he drinks, that's a giggle.
Okay, but let's have the conversation about should we care if this new tax plan affects Donald Trump favorably or unfavorably on a personal level?
Let me reframe it. I don't care if it benefits him or not. What I care is that he says it doesn't. That's the issue,
okay.
That he says it doesn't.
And you don't believe him.
Well, the evidence seems to indicate that it couldn't be possible.
And we don't know until he releases his taxes, maybe, and he said he wasn't.
It should benefit him. The rich are being benefited here, so it will benefit him. I care that he won't just...
Thank you for that donation.
Say that.
It's always when you're talking. I feel like giving you applause every time, Steve.
No, everyone notices
that. We just got a... somebody just said on our Facebook stream that if I do the Donald Trump drinking water again, they will make another donation.
Oh.
We're still doing it, and we're still doing it. And I'll have these fun, fascinating, I can't believe this guy's president conversations all day long. They're irresistible.
Yeah.
But they don't matter. He is what he is.
But his lies are sinking in.
Thank you for the donation to the Salvation Army.
It's because of the justice.
The thing is, nothing matters. This is what I this morning in my column, I said I formed, I talking about the Shirley This Society. The people, like, I used to belong to the Shirley This Society, which was that he would do something. He would make fun of the handicapped, he'd make fun of John McCain's prisoner of war status. And I would say, surely this will torpedo his political career. But nothing ever does. So nothing that he does is going, he's going, I think he's going to fire Robert Mueller. I do. Yeah. I think he's going to do that. Even though he said he isn't going to do it, he's going to do it, and it's not going
to. And I just would like to pursue that a little bit in conjunction with that. That's my point. If you allow him to continue to lie, obvious lies, they begin to take hold. Look at the polls. Robert Mueller is now losing credibility, particularly among Republicans. He's a Republican guy. He's a Republican appointee.
I know, he is a Republican.
But it's because of the continued, you know, the FBI as KGB. It's because of these things.
All I'm asking you to do is edit. That's all I'm saying. So is the Mueller storyline worthy of our attention? Yes. I agree with you on that. But I think every time he tells a lie, every time he tells a lie, we shouldn't ring a bell because then we won't get anything done.
I agree with that. I mean, because if you were to say, like, today's Thursday, there's no reason.
I'm telling you every time, just Bertrand's talking.
But I think when he's, if he's selling a major piece of legislation and saying it doesn't help him, I think that's when you do tell. You count.
I have some non-political questions. You guys ready? Video of a U.S. Navy pilot observing a UFO has been released. The intercept took place in 2004 off the coast of California. The object moves easily and super quickly into a 120-mile-an-hour jet stream. It rotates. It hovers 50 feet above the ocean where there's some churning object. It amazes Navy pilots. And then it zooms out of sight only to reemerge miles away. I do not believe in UFOs, but I believe that this happened, that this was a thing. Was this a visitor from outer space? Zorn, you go first.
No, it was not a visitor from outer space.
Stannis, was it a visitor from outer space?
It was not.
No.
Oh, come on, can an Earthling get some love here? Steve, what do you think happened there?
I didn't even read the story.
Well, now you know all you need to know. The video is everywhere.
I read the headline. I just thought this was a Harry Reid boondoggle for spending money in his state.
Okay, that was the other angle. Thank you for bringing it back to Earth. But so we know this because there was a $20 million research project that was funded by Harry.
$20 million in the coffer.
Okay.
Oh, and another.
A $650 billion Defense Department budget. $20 million was carved off. It's a pittance, and it was given to a private contractor to study this, who happens to be a big campaign contributor to Harry Reid. Okay,
that's not shady at all.
No.
No.
I know,
no.
But really.
Well, I mean, look,
we've
something.
Got UFOs at our front door, and you guys are quibbling about that. I mean, come on.
They're going to make everything okay. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're coming down here and saying, okay, you guys, we gave you a millennium. It didn't work out. We're taking
over. And this video is what year? Was it 2004? And so where has this object been for the last 13 years? I mean, really, honestly, if you've got some hyper
it was shot down over Chicago,
72nd floor of Trump Tower. Site.
They've come and they've taken a look at us and they've just gone away. No intelligent life.
We don't know their ways. We don't know their ways. Too often, the video. Too often, the video.
Oh, we're getting
from
serious?
UFOs is some guy named Clem, and he's standing there with Mrs. Kadiddlehopper.
The frisbee on them.
This is Navy pilots. You know, it's more sophisticated than that. It looks realer than that. They don't have any reason. They're mocked when they land their jets. They're derided. They don't talk about it anymore. So I'm compelled to believe the Navy pilots. And the video is really fascinating. What was that? I don't know. That's part of our Mincing Rascals podcast. You can hear the entire podcast wherever you subscribe to your final podcast. We call it The Mincing Rascals. I just put it on my Facebook page. I am King John there. The gang was not interested. You know, they may be here, the aliens, and I don't know where their spaceships are right now, Eric. I don't know. But boy, that video, it's just been such a weird week because you've got all the politics and all the hard news in the world. And then that one video has still been on the front pages of most of the major aggregator websites across the country. The Navy pilot going, do you see that over there? Like that. And they go, what the heck is that? I have no idea. It's 11:24. We're getting close to news time at 11:30 on GM. It's 11:28. Are you guys working on your favorite bowl names, top three?
I've got my three.
Are you going to use the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl?
Not anymore.
Sorry. Griff, was that going to be on your list?
Yeah, and my list is a thing of utter integrity, so I'm not going to change it just because you said. Yeah, it stays in the list, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, but I've got two others that we won't say yet.
Featuring Temple and FIU, is that Florida International?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Props to you, Florida International, but if your bowl has Florida International in it, you don't need to have a bowl anymore.
There are 39 bowl games.
Yeah.
Not counting the national championship, which I guess essentially is the 40th. And it's just called the national championship, though.
Oh, really? They haven't sold the name of that? Boy, they should sell the name of that to the Gasparilla people.
It's the College Football Playoff National Championship. Don't believe they have a sponsor.
How do they? Of all, if we can get Bad Boy Mowers to pick up a bowl, where is Chevrolet or, I don't know, the Army or somebody who sponsors bowls? That's amazing.
The two semi-games are the All-State Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual.
Got it.
And then the winners of those two will play in the national championship.
Rock-solid All-American companies with critically short names, liking that. I'm not sure if it's the obscurity or the length of the name of the bowls that makes it sound most ridiculous.
I always thought, John, and maybe you'll like this, maybe you won't, you should take the two worst teams in Division I, right, and put them in some god-awful place nobody wants to go to.
Right.
Call it the Toilet Bowl,
right,
and whoever loses has to go down to Division II.
It's sort of like they do in European soccer, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're this, like, the two teams that are 0-12, they have to play in, like, man, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's absolutely ruthless. That's like Hunger Games level.
Well, hey, this is what you get when you suck.
Well, I could see, you know, and I don't want to do that to these poor college kids, but to the pros, maybe so. I mean, because that's what happens. Help me out on this. Do you guys understand how that works? In some level of European soccer, you get kicked back to the minors if you have the worst team of the year. Something like that.
Yeah,
they go from like the B League to the C League,
yeah,
or something like that.
Mm. Did the bowl games tip when the Tidy Bowl got its own bowl? Didn't the Tidy Bowl company have a bowl, or am I just making that up now?
It very well could have. I mean, these sponsors come and go.
All right, we will run down our top three favorite bowl names. Griff's also got a few things to do for us in our Vibe Score segment after the news. Christmas Day forecast isn't so bad, and it sounds like the worst of that snow in this winter weather advisory is not that we're going to get 9 inches of snow, but that it's probably going to be an unfortunate mix is what it sounds like, right?
That's very true. Yeah. Good note there. Yeah, it's going to be the mix. That's what's going to make the roads really slippery for you, too. So you guys be careful tomorrow.
And when did you say that was? Did you have a time on that?
Now, that winter weather advisory is in effect for 4 a.m. Sunday morning all the way to 6 p.m. Sunday night.
Okay, so pretty much all day Sunday, all day tomorrow.
Yes.
A winter weather advisory for travelers. Okay, it's 11:39. Hey, real quick, our top three favorite bowl names, and also Michael Phillips' list of the best movies of 2017 and producer Griff's comments on that, all before 12 noon. It is 11:39.
The mood is right.
Ah.
The spirit's up.
Ah.
We're here tonight. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
On Saturdays, we ask Griffin to give us some things to think about. We rate them on a scale of 1 to 100. We call it the vibe score. What's your vibe? What's your score for whatever Griff throws at us? He always starts with a song. Thank you for that song.
It's Christmas Eve Eve. I don't know if you know, but Christmas is in 2 days.
I know. It really has snuck up on us.
Yeah. And that was, of course, Paul McCartney with his song Wonderful Christmas Time from 1979 with Wings. You can rate it from 1 to 100 if you want, but what I wanted to do was set up a little Christmas competition.
Okay.
I think we've done something similar before, but I just wanted to check in with your feelings on these two songs. So at the 100 side, we have Paul McCartney with Wonderful Christmas Time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
On the 0 side,
right,
we have John Lennon with Happy Xmas War Is Over. Now, I can play a little bit of that, too, if you want.
Yeah, if you got it handy, go ahead and hit that one. So we're gonna pick which one we like more, right?
What have you done?
Oh, boy, I hate this competition you've set up for us.
Another year over. And you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas.
So you get the idea.
Yeah, I know that. But all right, so I'm going to put the meter at 65. That means I'm leaning towards Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time.
Right.
Both great songs. Different feels, though, and I need more of the Paul McCartney simply having a wonderful Christmas time rather than the thoughtful but kind of melancholy John Lennon version.
Sam?
I agree on that note. I'm going to take it 80 to Paul McCartney because I like the... I like the swing of it. It's faster. It's quicker. It's more up-tempo.
It's easier to dance to.
I like that, although I will say Ringo always gets jobbed. I Want to Be Santa Claus by Ringo Starr is outstanding.
Wait, okay. There's a song called I Want to Be Santa...
He did a whole album.
Oh, no. He is getting jobbed. I didn't know that, and I didn't know that song.
Well, I just thought it would be unfair because everybody picks Ringo, so I had to leave him out.
Sam, if you can find that song before noon...
I will find it right now.
Yeah, no... Well,
I said before noon. There's no rush.
Domity.
Dom. I'm with Sam, 80 toward McCartney.
Yeah, this is boring. I thought there would be more discord here, but I agree. I love Wonderful
Paul
Christmas
against Ringo.
Time. I'm like an 87. I really like that song.
Ringo's going to get shut out, Sam. I'm sorry. But hey, we're going to listen to it. We're going to clear our palates, and we'll be ready for Ringo Starr's song in just a moment.
Again, I just find it impossible to put a number value on my love for Ringo Starr and my respect for him as an artist.
Are we going to do a number value, our love for John Fox, the coach of the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'll just do it, Griff. 100, you love him, / really feel sorry for him right now. 0, you hate him, and he deserves all the kicking that he's getting. Bye-bye. Sam, go.
Sam is intently looking for the song. So,
okay. Domity, go.
I
100, you love him. Feel bad for him.
You're 40.
40.
I'm at 40.
I am at 63.
Why so exact?
Because I don't know. I just, listen, the team's doing terrible, and I guess Mike Ditka said he's not a terrible coach. I know we got to get rid of the coach, and the team has to start winning. I think it is so easy to heap all of your anger at the performance of the individuals, and nobody better than the coach, but I just think they become sort of the focal point for a lot of things, some of which aren't them.
That's true.
And so then it gets personal, and then you just make fun of him, and I don't know if that guy reads the paper or listens to the radio, but this has got to be a horrible existence for him these days. And that's where my head is.
If you say so. I would encourage you to use your sympathy deposits elsewhere.
Right, okay.
There are probably other people that you could feel worse for.
I have a river of sympathy, Griffin. I could spill it anywhere.
I guess so.
Well, what's your number?
I don't know. I'm waiting to hear Sam's, and I'll just say the same one.
Sorry, I was ripping a Ringo song. Okay, are we talking John Fox?
John Fox, 100, you love him and feel sorry for him.
Oh, like, what a zero. Or
that
zero.
That was not
zero.
Hard.
Zero.
That was not tough. I wish... It's really a shame that Sam didn't hear any of your, frankly...
I was compelling.
Frankly pathetic screed
here's
about how you feel bad for John Fox.
I can summarize it. Sam, don't you think that John Fox is the focal point of things that are out of his control? He does not deserve the derision he gets in this town?
No.
Buck's got to stop somewhere.
Okay.
Right?
Fine.
Hold on. There was this clip this week, though, about John Fox had a pet monkey at one point. Did you hear this clip?
No. Boy, I wouldn't share that.
How can you feel bad for a guy that had a pet monkey?
Yeah, she was actually a great pet, and it was, as I look back at it, very unusual, for today's world.
Yeah.
There you have it.
All right. If you have the clip of Donald Trump's love of tuna, you might want to play that for us, too. There was a clip working around the internet this week where the president was talking about his delight in finding a perfect can of tuna while in Utah. I'm not making that up. Okay, Griff, what else have you got for us?
Youthquake. Is that a word that means anything to you? Have you heard it in your life?
I've heard it, and I have no idea what it is.
Are you sure you've heard it? It was Oxford Dictionary's Word of the Year for 2017.
What? Seriously?
Youthquake.
Covfefe would have been it, or, I don't know, I could think of some better words. Youthquake meaning the revolution, young people power to...
I suppose. I'm sort of showing my cards here, but I dislike this choice of a word for the year of 2017, because I've never heard it, and... I'm showing my disdain for it by refusing to really learn exactly what it means. But you probably get the idea, like some sort of disruption of that young people foist on the world, you know, something like that.
Where's the feminine equivalent of that? I would say female quake or feminine quake would be more germane, but that that didn't resonate that way this year.
There's always 2018.
Okay, all right. I'm giving that a 17, Griffin. That's the not only is that a stupid phrase, but they missed the mark completely.
And you think it should be covfefe?
I think covfefe. I think alternative would have been a good word. Fake would have been
news.
A good word.
Fake. Yeah. I saw some people online lobbying for milkshake duck. Do you know what that is?
Milkshake duck. Boy, do I feel out of the loop. What's that?
You have to Google it.
Milkshake duck.
No, yeah, it's a meme that I think it's a term that you'd be well off knowing in the coming weeks. But maybe we can talk more about that later.
Okay. All right. You got anything else for us, Greg?
You said to rate 2017 on the whole.
Okay, 2017. Four and boy, I think I tend to skew high on stuff. My 2017, 54, final answer. Domiti, how was your 2017?
100.
Yeah. Domiti, I knew you were going to go there. You came to the WGN Radio family. If
yes.
it was just my thoughts about Domiti, I would be a 100. I'd be a 99.
Woo!
But
there's still that missing point, though. What's your problem? What's that one point off for with Domiti?
I'll tell you off the air. Sammy, what's your 2017?
86.
86. Griff?
Yeah, 80.
I'm glad to hear that, fellas. Thank you for bringing me up.
Yeah.
Our favorite bowl names of the year. Our favorite bowl names ranked. Plus, the best movies of the year. If you're thinking about stuff to go see, not only does Michael Phillips have a list, but Griffin has some recommendations, too. Coming
plus
up,
Ringo.
Plus, oh, yeah, right. Plus.
Don't forget.
Listen anyway, a Christmas song from Ringo.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Sam Panionovich, explain yourself.
I love this song.
Used to laugh and call him names.
I mean, there's really nothing wrong with it.
Right. Point Griffin. True story.
I like the DMX version better.
But if you were a member of the transcendent pop group of the world of ever, that's what you got for a Christmas song? That's not good enough.
Well,
that's not good enough for a Beatle.
What is he supposed to do? Every song has to be a masterpiece because he played the drums behind the...
Well, I don't know what he has to do, but if I was a member of the Beatles and that's all I had for a Christmas song, I think I would just be a Beatle. I would not be a Christmas singing Beatle.
I think it's the best song I've ever heard. 100. That's a 100.
Oh, are we going to rate that? Okay.
No.
Griff gave it 100. Domiti, 1 to 100. What do you give Ringo Starr's Rudolph the Red? And by the way, that's not even a good enough song. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer should not be on your Christmas mix anyway.
Wow. Now that's a hot take.
I give it a meh. It's a 50.
50. There's no such thing as a 50. You're up or down. Where are you?
Let's 49. Give it 49. 49. Got to do a 49.
Right. You're damn right that's a 49.
Don't bend to his will on that. A 50 is a fine score to give,
but
if
I
you feel neutral.
I must explain this, though. That's because DMX had the best Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ever.
Yeah.
We don't have time, but I will let you hear it, John. You must hear it. Can we vibe score that one day, Griff?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do that in like 3 months when there's no reason to be
give
playing Christmas
music. Ringo's Stars Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer a 7. A crooked number.
Ouch.
7.
Wow, somebody's getting more Trump gear for Christmas.
Okay, so here's our top 3 bowl names ranked. Sam, you started this, or at least you're the master of it, so let's see what you've got.
Number 3, Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. Nothing like watching football reminding you need a loan on your house.
Nice.
2, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. I think that says enough. And the number 1 bowl name, in my opinion, the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
Yep, that was the favorite.
Griffin, what do you like? Any others on there that you want to just do a shout out for?
I'm a big fan of the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry. It's hard, really hard to say. Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. And you know what? I also like the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. I think my number 1 is Bahamas Bowl.
The Bahamas Bowl.
Just keep it simple.
It used to be the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl.
I'd like that even better.
But Popeye's dropped out.
That would make it even more awesome. Domati, did we mention any that you have on your any on your list that we haven't mentioned?
The only one I like is the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the only one I'd want to go to.
I got the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. That's pretty good.
That used to be the, it used to be the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Poinsettia Bowl.
There was a, there was like a pitch meeting. Like, how boring can we make a football game sound?
Really, if you throw credit union on there, I'm turning the TV on. Okay, my number three on my list is a fantasy bowl. It doesn't exist, but what if it did? The Pet Parents Belly Band Male Dog Rap Bowl. This is a product for dogs who can be incontinent, and you wrap them in a cotton tortilla shell. That's the Pet Parents Belly Band Male Dog Rap Bowl.
So that's a real product.
Affirmative.
But a fake bowl.
Why don't they have
one? Well, you're cheating now.
Number two, the state of Illinois will sell you anything. How about a sanitation truck bowl? Again, a fantasy bowl, but I could see us doing that.
This is more fun. I wish I would have done this.
And my number one all-time favorite bowl is the All-State Sugar Bowl. It's going to be a great game this year. It's on the right day, New Year's Day. I'm sitting in the All-State Showcase Studio.
Oh, wow.
It's compact, and yet it's one of those classic bowls, the Sugar Bowl. It's the perfect bowl. Alabama Clemson.
He sold out for his list. You see that?
I know.
See what he did there?
Griff, give us... Oh, by the way, just real quick before we wrap this show up today, Amy will stroll in here in just moments. Sam, are there any other bowl games? Like, if I was going to make a point to watch one or two of these 39 bowl games... You like Wisconsin-Miami? Is that going to be a good football game?
I wouldn't put it at the top of my list. I really think that USC-Ohio State is going to be awesome. That's
Which
the Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl.
On the 29th. Of course, you've got the two big ones on the first, Georgia-Oklahoma, Alabama-Clemson. I also think LSU-Notre Dame is interesting.
Yeah.
That's on January 1st. That's the Citrus Bowl. There's plenty to find in the 39 games, though. I think there are probably seven good ones. That's the problem.
Have you ever seen a college team run the ball and make it more fun than Notre Dame this year? I mean, isn't that one of their great points, and aren't they great at it this year, Sam?
Yeah, they have a really good offensive line, probably the best in the country, and a good running back named Josh Adams. The quarterback can move too, Wimbush. They are a power run team, and they're fun to watch, no doubt. But LSU has a very good defense. They're number one in the SEC at run defense. So you've got a good run team against a good run defense. It should be interesting.
Griffin, Michael Phillips published in tomorrow's Chicago Tribune his top movies of the year. I know you've got the list, and I know you've seen more movies than any of us, so just give us a little movies to think about or maybe watch over the holidays.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's one way to do it, right? I mean, you've got the list, don't you?
We got 2.5 minutes. Yes, I've got the list. Do you want me to just read what Michael Phillips' top 10 is? It's an interesting one.
Start there.
10 is Call Me By Your Name. That's still forthcoming, very much hyped. Italian movie starring Armie Hammer. 9 is The Florida Project. 8 is Raw. That's on Netflix right now. You can watch it. I watched it about a week ago. This movie, a French movie called Raw. It's about a girl who goes to veterinarian school, like veterinary college.
Yeah.
When she gets there, she turns into a cannibal and starts eating some of her classmates.
Oh, no.
You can.
Is it a good movie? Do you like it?
I liked it a lot. I don't think it would make my top. I was happy to see it on his list.
Is it in
I don't
French?
Think it would make mine.
Is it in French subtitled?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
and
good.
It is incredibly difficult to watch. It's disgusting, but it's good.
Raw.
Yeah. Raw. Good Time is number 7. This had Robert Pattinson as a small-time crook. He botches a bank robbery and his brother gets arrested for it. He's trying to get his brother out of prison in New York.
Got it.
This would be up in my top 5 of the year. It's an incredible movie.
What's the title of that again?
Good Time.
Good Time.
Mudbound is also that's his number 6. That's also on Netflix, and this would also make my top 10. Directed by Dee Reese. It's a story of racism and family in Mississippi in the 1940s.
Mudbound.
Incredibly good. And then he had one called Rat Film. I don't know what that is. I'm very interested to find it. Phantom Thread is forthcoming from Paul Thomas Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis. I couldn't be more excited, but... Normal people like us haven't gotten to see it yet. Get Out is his number 3.
Is that on your top 5?
Oh, yeah. It'd have to be, I think.
Yeah. What a great movie.
I mean, it's kind of the movie of the year. Even if it's not your favorite of the year, that's undoubtedly the movie of the year to me.
Something to watch. Keep going.
A Ghost Story is his number 2. That was the one with Casey Affleck wearing a white sheet.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
And?
I I liked it, but I don't think that I loved it the way some people did. And it just, I'm kind of curious to revisit.
You're going to love his number one.
It's beautiful. Yes, I do. It's Lady Bird.
Yeah,
Greta
yeah.
Gerwig's coming-of-age tale.
What else would you throw at us as we wrap this up, Griff? Anything else that is in your top 10? Or
in his honorable mentions, there's a lot that I like. There's this movie called Columbus that it stars John Cho from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. It takes place in Columbus, Indiana. It's all shot there.
Huh.
And it's beautiful. I love Columbus. That would be in my top. He also had, you know, Wonder Woman and The Last Jedi and War for the Planet of the Apes. It was a good year for really good blockbusters. At least those three were really good. There were some stinkers, too.
I was happy for Sam when I saw that the Star Wars movie made it, even though, Sam, I don't know, is that in your top 10? I know you're still mad at
no,
Star
he didn't,
Wars.
No, you didn't like it.
It was okay.
Yeah. Hey, is Amy Guth coming in here? It's 12 noon, and she's supposed to sit down and tell us what's coming up on our show.
Yeah, here she goes.
We normally take a break, but actually I'm not taking a break, Ames, so we're set to roll for you. You could just set your coffee down. We got a second.
While she gets ready, I think my favorite bowl is actually tomorrow at Soldier Field, the Bears and the Browns.
Here we go.
Should be a good bowl game.
One of your favorite college games?
Yes, good college game tomorrow.
Bears-Browns?
Yes.
That's what you could do. You could take the loser of that game and make them a college team next year.
There you go.
That's the John Williams Saturday Show Bowl. It cost me $25 to get our name on that one.
Boom.
Amy Guth. Hey, boys, what a fun year I've had with you guys. We're not here next Saturday. There's a Northwestern basketball game. Sam, Domati, Bob Kessler's rolling into the newsroom now. But, Griffin, I can't tell you how much fun I've enjoyed our Saturday shows. Thank you for being part of what I do, and I hope you've enjoyed my being part of what you do.